because I really want to bring the tiny house movement more to the Midwest. And people are really interested in living smaller, more minimalist, environmentally friendly, and living in a tiny house. So if we bring the idea to the Midwest commercially, where you can come and look at tiny houses and stay in one, get some ideas for one, it gets the governmental entities a little bit softened to the idea of accepting tiny houses.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Total Michigan, where we interview ordinary Michiganders doing some pretty extraordinary things. I'm your host, Cliff Duvenois. So a handful of weeks ago, I was having dinner with some friends, and I said, you know, I'm going to be going over to Muskegon. I'm going to be doing some interviews over there. And one of them flipped out and said, you have to stay at Tiny Digs. And I said, what? No idea what that is. But I'm so glad that I did, because I'm absolutely just loving this place. And the experience here has just been absolutely phenomenal. And to talk to us today about Tiny Digs, where this came from, the whole idea, whole nine yards, is Pam Westra.
Thank you, Cliff. Nice to be here today.
Excellent. So, Pam, if you would, just for our audience, what is Tiny Digs?
Well, we're at Tiny Digs Lakeshore. The brand Tiny Digs is kind of our thing now. This is our second development over the last 8 years. Our first development is Tiny Digs Hotel, which is in Portland, Oregon. And my son was living, or our son was living there for a number of years on the West Coast. And he kept saying, Mom, Dad, come on out here. The tiny house movement's taken off. So we landed in Portland, Oregon to start Tiny Digs Hotel there. But home, where our heart is at, is West Michigan here. And we've always said that Muskegon was a gem just waiting to happen. And over the last 8-10 years, Muskegon is really blossoming. We have shoreline, scads of shoreline here. People come here to enjoy the lakes and all the other attractions, which we'll go into more a little later. But we came home to Michigan to start Tiny Digs Lakeshore. And here we are. I happened to run into Cliff yesterday. He was staying here as a guest, and I popped out and said, hey, welcome to Tiny Digs. And in lies the interview here today. It wasn't planned, but here we are, and I'm glad we are, because I'm a Michigander at heart, so this is just perfect for his show.
Now, every one of the tiny homes that you've got here is based on a different kind of theme.
Yes.
And right now, we're in the Tiki Hut.
Yeah. It's just a lot of fun.
And I feel like I should have a margarita glass or something like that right now in my hand.
Right.
Because this place is, if you're watching this on YouTube, every one of these places is just beautifully decorated. But the Tiki Hut in general just makes it just feel like a party.
Yeah, it's a fun little house. We have had a couple little parties in here. They're very, very tiny. So it's very, very small party of like 6 or 7 people. But it's just a fun little house. And it was just probably one of the most fun ones I've decorated so far. We have 19 tiny houses in total. And so this was just a lot of fun to try and find the treasures for.
You bet.
So, yeah.
And so, Pam, let's take a step back here for a second. Tell us, where are you from? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Wayne, which is a suburb of the Detroit area. I'm a Detroit girl at heart. But then I went away to college at Central Michigan. And then as I was in college, I kept meeting all these cool people from West Michigan and would end up over here on weekends and stuff. And I said, well, I always wanted to live by water. And there is so much water here, lakes, rivers, Lake Michigan, which is just gorgeous. If you've never been to Lake Michigan, you got to come here, because it's people call it, they say it looks like you're at the ocean. So it's our little Michigan ocean. So a lot of sandy beaches. So I ended up here. Couple years after moving here, I met my husband, and we have been married now for 43 years, almost 44 years.
Ooh, congratulations.
And have 2 sons. Our oldest son, Kevin, helps us build all these tiny houses. He's a craftsman. We're all pretty much artists, craftspeople, and we love to create things.
Now, how did you get into housing constructions, tiny homes, and decorating? How did that all come about?
My husband's dad was a home builder in West Michigan here back in the day. He died a few years ago at age 94. But the housing industry, my husband really, once he got out of the military, he was drafted during the Vietnam War. Once he got out of the service, he had his 4 years of college paid for from the Army. So he said, no, Dad, I'm not going to do the home building with you. But he'd always grown up in that. His dad trained him. He old school dad. He knew from all the old tricks of a master carpenter. So my husband learned all those. But as my husband progressed in his professions, because he had a couple of them, he ended up being a chiropractor for about 25 years.
Whoa.
And we had a wellness center in Spring Lake. My former career was being a special education teacher, but when he got out of college with his chiropractic degree, we were in our 30s, and I decided, okay, I've done teaching for 10 years. I will help run our wellness center. So we had a very successful, good wellness center that we helped and saved a lot of people's health and taught them about wellness for all those years. We needed a change. So back in 2008, we sold that. Hit the road in an RV for 7 years to travel.
Nice.
Our kids were out of the house by that point. Our son moved to the West Coast during that time. And Kevin and I kept, that's my oldest son, we kept seeing the tiny house movement and thought, oh, they're so cute. Those tiny houses, you know, they're like little doll houses. Every girl's dream when they were a little kid to have a dollhouse to play in, or even a kid with forts, because you'll see some of the houses are more rustic. That was my son designed, and my husband designs things. And we design all our houses, we build all our houses, but right from inception back in 2014 or so, we started creating this idea, so a good 10 years ago, and researching it, deciding what.
And this is over in Portland, right?
Yeah, that was in Portland, Oregon. Tiny Digs Lakeshore here has only been open for 10 months now.
Oh, wow.
And so it's very new. But back in 2014, when the tiny house movement started really taking off, as many people know, there were probably 7-8 TV shows on at one time about tiny houses, and it was quite a thing. I had a lot of women friends that were single, maybe divorced or widowed, or maybe never been married. And they said, oh, you know, this tiny house movement is so cool. Why don't you build a tiny house village where we could all go live, have a communal room where you could go do yoga, cooking, crafts, that kind of thing, and a community garden. And I said, oh, that sounds like such a great idea. And so we started checking into that. But at that time, 10 years ago, the powers that be were not ready for tiny house communities, and there just weren't any at that time. People were fighting around the nation with governmental entities trying to get them approved, but because they were so new, so unusual, such a tiny space, they weren't sure they wanted to accept them. Now, 10 years later, all our border states in the United States all have tiny house communities. It's starting to spread inward to some of the inner states. We have tiny house communities all the way from Kentucky all the way to Florida, and they're just popping up all over. So we said we don't have the time or the energy to fight government. And so what's another avenue that we can use to bring tiny houses into existence and acceptance so that the powers that be would accept them a little easier and not think of them as something too odd and weird.
Right.
And so tiny house hotels were springing up even before that 10-year ago mark. People were developing them and people were flocking to them for a different experiential stay, to go to something different than a box hotel room with blank walls. As you can see here, we don't have blank walls here.
No, you don't.
It's just a fun little venture here with all the little tchotchkes around to fit the theme and fun stuff on the walls. It was easier to jump in the arena with the governmental entities and do a hotel. In Portland, Oregon, where we started at, where our son was living, they already had one tiny house hotel, but they were always 100% booked. So we said, Portland, Oregon, such a huge city, I think there's room for another one. And so we went there, and it only took us 3 months to get approved out there. There were lots of different stipulations. But even Portland, as progressive as it was, accepting tiny house hotels, it took till we were there 3 or 4 years before to legally live in a tiny house. They did start allowing them in the city of Portland. Things have advanced
out
there.
Just to clarify this a little bit here. So you could build a tiny home if you wanted to rent it out for short term.
Yes.
But you couldn't live in it.
You couldn't live in it full time.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. And every town has their rules and regulations, zoning and ordinances. The zoning and planning division of your city will tell you what size house you have to build. You know, there's minimums, and tiny houses are too small of a minimum to fit most zoning and planning ordinances. So they wouldn't allow them.
So now as far as, because here we are in tiny digs all these years later, you had success over Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You got it up and running.
Yep.
At what point did you sit there and say to yourself, holy cow, this is like a real viable business?
Yeah. Well, right away. I mean, we watched the other business for a couple years as we were doing our planning to move to Portland. We said, well, short-term rentals are taking off. Tiny Digs is a short-term rental. We can't do over 30 days of having someone stay with us. They don't want long-term leases, so we turn into a landlord or anything. It's a short-term rental, vacation kind of place. We have a lot of business people, though, stay with us, too. And that's how you found us, too.
Indeed.
Business person in town, and then we got to meet. So, yeah.
And then I guess my next question would be, because it's such a hit in Portland, and you said this a little bit when you first started talking in the interview, but for some reason, you decided to come back to Michigan,
right?
And do this here. Why not just keep flipping them out in Portland and become like, you know, the McDonald's of tiny homes over there?
Right. Well, we really missed West Michigan. My husband grew up here and I grew up in the Detroit area of Michigan, but still had all the lakes and the rivers in my heart here. And we like the conservative values here, too, to raise a family. And that's why our son wanted to come home. He was ready to raise a family. Housing is very, very expensive on the West Coast.
Oh,
and
okay.
So we kept putting a bug in his ear and his wife's ear. Well, here's some houses in Michigan. Look at how much house you could get if we all moved back to Michigan. And technology advanced so much in these first 8 years of having Tiny Digs Hotel in Portland that we saw that we could manage it from afar. Everything's automated now. People self-check in, self-check out since COVID. Nobody wants to go to a front desk. So we didn't have to have somebody there all day managing that. And so everything's pretty automated. People book online or give us a call. It's, you know, you get emails telling you how to get to the place and how to get into the houses. And so it's all very automated. So
for our audience, we're going to take a quick break and thank our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the Tiny Digs came to be into Muskegon and what you can expect when you come here. We'll see you after the break. Are you enjoying this episode? Well, I can tell you there's a lot more to come. Jump over to totalmichigan.com, enter your email address, and get on our mailing list. You'll get a list of the top 5 episodes for the show. Along with that, you'll get all kinds of behind-the-scenes goodies, as well as upcoming guest notifications and so much more. Just go over to TotalMichigan.com, enter your email address today. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Total Michigan, where we interview ordinary Michiganders doing some pretty extraordinary things. I'm your host, Cliff Duvenois. Today, we're talking with Pam Westra of Tiny Digs in Muskegon. And Pam, before the break, we were talking about how you had gotten success in Portland doing your tiny homes, a motel, so to speak. And now you've decided that we're going to come back to Michigan. And so when you come back to Michigan and you're thinking you're going to want to do the tiny home thing here. Okay. So talk to us about the process. I mean, how did you find the land? How did it go with Michigan? Because like you said, everybody seems to have their own housing requirements. So how did that work out?
Before we even came home, it was a couple year process before we got back here due to COVID. We had planned to come back home earlier, but we had to get everything stabilized out in Portland, Oregon again. So when we visited, we would meet with the city and talk to them about our idea. They were very tiny house friendly. They already have a little shopping district downtown that they call the chalets. I call them tiny houses. It's little entrepreneurial, tiny, tiny businesses on our main street downtown. So when I saw those, I said, oh, they're tiny house friendly. When we come home, maybe we'll start a tiny house development here, because I really want to bring the tiny house movement more to the Midwest so that we can have some tiny house communities for full-time living in. People want them. There's a need. It got promoted more, I think, on the coastal states where there's so many tiny house communities already, because everyone knows there's a housing shortage worldwide, not just particular states, but worldwide housing shortage. And people are really interested in living smaller, more minimalist, environmentally friendly, and living in a tiny house. So if we bring the idea to the Midwest commercially, where you can come and look at tiny houses and stay in one, get some ideas for one, it gets the governmental entities a little bit softened to the idea of accepting tiny houses. They can see how cute they can be. I know we got a bit of pushback from the community. The city was pretty for having this tiny house development here as a commercial entity, because down the road, I think they would like to look at tiny house communities here in this area. That hasn't come out yet, but it's incubating, let's say.
Right.
It takes a long time. Muskegon was very progressive. Just last year, they did change their zoning and planning ordinances from 850 square foot residential home down to 550 square foot requirements. So that's getting tinier.
Right.
Still not as tiny as most tiny houses are, though.
So let me ask you that question there, because that brings up a good point. When we're talking about tiny homes, how many square footage are we typically talking about?
This one, these that we have here at Tiny Digs Lakeshore are anywhere from like 250 to 275 square feet.
Okay.
And that's including the loft. The sleeping area and all these that we have here is in a loft area. You walk up some little stairs, queen bed up in there. So it's very tiny, very compact, just for vacation, not a lot of storage in these. So these are only 20 foot long. Now, if somebody's going to live in one full time, we find in the tiny house world that most people, they're living in a 24, 28, 36 foot long tiny house.
Right.
These are 8.5 foot wide because that makes them legal to go down the road. These are tiny houses on wheels. And so these tiny houses on wheels have restrictions because of moving on the roads.
Right.
And so 8.5 foot wide is your standard width for road travel. You can get a special permit, and they are making some now that are 10 foot wide. And it just seems, oh, the luxury. We have one in Portland. We call it the luxury tiny house out there because it's 10 foot wide. It feels so much bigger, and it's 20 foot long. And these are 20 foot by 8.5. So they are tiny. We build all these tiny houses too.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. Do you go to a catalog and say, I want this tiny house, or
You can do that. Now, I've seen, out there, you can go online and look up, prefab tiny houses. A lot of them are more like a shed kit, and I don't know how long they would last, some of them, when I look at them, and they're not on a trailer. So these are a trailer that's specifically made to build a tiny house on. They carry the weight, and then we design it from the trailer on up. And they're 2x4 construction in the sidewalls, 2x6 in the floors and ceilings, just like a residential home would be. And if you take care of one of these, it can last as long as a residential home would. We don't build them with your typical RV camping trailer kind of materials. They're built with very good quality, just like you would use in a residential home.
Right.
So they're going to last a lifetime or two if you take care of it, just like your stick-built house will last 100, 200 years if you take care of it. That's what these are built like.
You mentioned before about getting some pushback from people in the communities about this place. So not everybody was warm to tiny houses?
No, they weren't. They didn't understand them. And I can appreciate that. They didn't understand. This is kind of a mixed-use area where we're at. We're in the little downtown area of Lakeside. It's a little cute, quaint neighborhood of Muskegon. And we're the shores of Muskegon Lake are right across the street. Lake Michigan is 4 minutes by car down the street. We have the bike path across the street, but we have all these little shops and restaurants and pubs right here within walking distance. We're 4 blocks from the high-speed ferry that comes in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And so people come over on the ferry and walk down from the ferry boat. They don't even have to take a car if they don't want. A lot of people come in the summertime with their bikes because pedal bikes and motorcycles, we accept all those. We have a bike path across the street that goes entirely around the Muskegon Lake, but it also hooks up to many, many trails that go across the state of Michigan. There's a trail that goes next to I-96 that goes, I don't even know how far it goes. I think it goes across the whole state. I'm not 100% sure, but it's the bike trails are old rail lines. And this bike path across the street hooks up to a west coast of Michigan bike trail that goes all the way up north.
Right.
So, and I'm sure probably to the UP. They've connected all these bike trails on the old rail tracks, and that's what this is across the street. And
so when you got permission to build the tiny homes, right?
Yep. And
you were talking about how your family, basically built-in carpenters, are building them.
Yep.
Talk to us about, because this is what really has intrigued me. Every single house here has its own theme, right?
Right.
So this is tiki. You got a farmhouse theme. You got a vineyard theme. You've got a beach theme. So did you just watch a ton of HGTV? I mean, where did you get the creative juices to say, you know, hey, let's decorate it this way, because they all look fantastic.
Thanks. Searching back in my memory, that was the first piece of paper that we wrote about developing a tiny house hotel. We definitely wanted to have themes. And so our first meeting to do that was, okay, what are all our themes? Because it's a family business. Our son, Kevin, and his wife, Stacy, build and decorate these with my husband, Bruce, and I. And we've all been involved with this whole process for the 8 years that we've been doing it. The themes were, we said, well, you know, I like going, staying somewhere that has a little different theme, but the theme idea has really taken off in the travel world also. When I was looking at different tiny house hotels around the world, I saw like a whole camp of Airstreams on top of a big building in Africa. And they had taken all these Airstream trailers and put them up there like a little campground on top of a tall building. And then there's shepherd's huts over in England. And these cute little things. And tiny houses are just cute anyhow. So why not make them a theme? And so it was real fun to decorate them and look for all the little touches to have in the tiny houses to go with each theme. And experiential travel has been the most popular segment of the travel industry for the last 5 years. So I guess we were a little bit ahead of the curve when we did themes and tiny houses back 8 years ago, because that is an experience to last a lifetime. I've had people stand in the driveway doing a happy dance and squealing when they've arrived looking at the tiny houses, because it's been like their dream to come stay in a tiny house. You know, little kids just love them too. They love the climbing up in the lofts, and it's like being in a tree fort. And so they're just a lot of fun.
Yeah. And one of the things too, when you were taking me on a tour of the place, that really struck me is the amount of recycling that you do. Yeah. You're not going out and buying brand new things.
Right.
It's going to estate sales, or people just throwing stuff away and you're like, hey, can I have that? And
yeah.
So, you know, it's decorating a wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. For instance, you're in the farmhouse. There is an old milk jug in there, the old metal 3-foot-high milk jug that we turned into the end table to the couch there, painted it up and then made a wooden top for it. And there's old lights made in the farmhouse from wooden horse stanchion materials, and then old wine bottles that were there in the vineyard house. We had antique wine bottles that we cut the hole out in the bottom and then fashioned into a light there. We fashion all our bathroom doors, our sliding doors are custom built for each house as a space saver. Sliding doors are recommended in tiny houses in the interior to save space. And so we like to bring a little bit of old and a little bit of new into all the houses. And I sometimes search for 2 years for particular things that I have in mind that I want to bring into a house. I know out in Oregon, I look for the front door of our cottage house out there for 2 or 3 years because I wanted an antique door. Yeah. I didn't want a new door on that house. It's a cottage Victorian home. And so I wanted that old school door on it and had to look around for that for quite a while. So it's fun. You know, we're recycling, we're repurposing. Some things are totally refashioned and made into something completely different. Like in here, we have an old paddle oar for the handrail going to the upstairs.
Yeah. So actually this leads into my next question quite nicely. If somebody is coming here, maybe for the first time, you know, they listen to the interview, they're like, you know what? I want to check this place out. What can people expect when they come to Tiny Digs?
Tiny Digs in itself, staying in a tiny house is just fun, but we make the yard fun too. We have a double lot here. We have an old 100-year-old house next door that's part of the development that we'll be developing over time. But we have 2 fire pits. We have swings. We have hammocks. We have games, you know, the cornhole game and a bunch of other games out in the summertime and such. But the bike path is just across the street. Bring your bikes. Bring your beach clothes. The beach is 4 minutes down the road. There's a boat launch to go fishing right across the street also, and great fishing in Muskegon Lake. So there's tons of stuff to do, not only in the summer, but the winter too. I was telling you about our luge park, Muskegon State Park, just a few minutes away from here. We have one of the only 4 luge runs in all of the United States. They have ice skating there. They have snowshoeing. They have night hike trails. Those are open year round. The night hike trails have lights on them. Very magical looking. I showed you a picture of when we went up there for that evening to hike it. And so there's downtown Muskegon is just a plethora of history. Muskegon started in the 1800s as an old logging town. And Charles Hackley, you'll see a lot of buildings named after him. He donated tons of money to the city in his lifetime. His old mansions and his partner's old mansions, they're still downtown. They're just phenomenal old homes that you can go tour. There's a wonderful, wonderful little art museum here. Most world-renowned with some of the items that they have in that art museum. And they're just going through an expansion. The downtown area has tons of little restaurants and pubs. We have a bunch of breweries that have popped up in town. Right a couple doors down here from Tiny Digs is Wonderland Distillery. So there's a lot to see and do here behind the scenes. You just got to check it out and go online and see what is there to see and do in Muskegon, Michigan, because there's tons of outdoor activities and even indoor activities for wintertime. So
nice. And then one of the things you mentioned before I wanted to circle back on is that, you know, because when we talk about the caliber, you know, you talk about experiential vacationing.
I
can get those words out.
Right.
So you have actually been featured on HGTV.
Yes. Yeah. We were on the first year that we opened Tiny Digs Hotel in Portland. We were featured on Tiny House Hunters on HGTV because it's a show on if somebody's out shopping for a tiny house, how did they pick that and the different types of tiny houses that are out there. And I think our development out there, there's 12 houses there now. There wasn't in the beginning when we did that show, but we purposely built the houses out there with different materials and different roof lines so that people could go, oh, I want a tiny house, but I don't really know how I want to design it. We design all ours. They're not something that we buy from somebody else. We build them from the ground up and design them from the ground up. They're not a kit. And so the exterior materials on the houses are different one from the other. The roof lines are different out there, one for the from the other. Here we have 3, maybe 4 different types of roof lines. And so that will give people a sampling of different materials and stuff that they might use in a tiny house if they want to build.
Right.
So, yeah.
And then, Pam, if somebody is listening to this, they want to come and check you out, connect with you online, make a reservation, please do. Where can they go?
Just go to tinydigslakeshore.com, and it will bring you to our website, and you can book your stay right there. and we appreciate direct bookings. We are on a lot of other platforms. People find us that way, but we hope when they come back that they bypass those other platforms so that we don't have to pay those big commissions that they have on those platforms to find us. But we have our own website, so people, probably 80% of our people do find us on our website. And it's Tiny Digs Lakeshore. Or if you're going to the West Coast and want to stay in a tiny house in Portland, Oregon, it's just tinydigshotel.com.
Pam, thank you so much for taking time to chat with us today. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Cliff, for having us.
And for our audience, you can always roll on over to totalmichigan.com, click on Pam's interview, and get the links that she mentioned above. We will catch you next time when we talk to another Michigander doing some pretty extraordinary things. We'll see you then.